Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, George.
Thank you, Travis. Thank you all for having a part in our services today. Thank you again for being here with us. Today is a day of love, right? Today is the day that I guess you probably had to spend a little money, guys. Or maybe you should have. But nonetheless, every Lord's Day is a day of love. Right? It's a day that we come together to put God where He needs to be. God is on His throne, but we need to put Him there in our lives. We need to love God with all our heart, with all of our minds, with all of our souls. We need to love our neighbor as ourselves. As Travis read the entire book, or a chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, all 13 of those verses pointed to the fact that now abides faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Last week, we talked about elevating our compassion. Logically, on a day like today, it would make sense to talk about elevating our love, and we will do that, but I'm going to do it in a twist from that. I'm going to talk about today what happens when our love is not elevated. And there's some scary things that can happen, and I'm going to illustrate that in a chapter of the Bible that will remind us of this. But you know, last week, and it really throughout the end of last year and this year, we've had a lot of great things happening. We've had people submitting their lives to Christ, being immersed in water for the remission of their sins. Last week, we saw the Yerbedra, Haley and Avery Yerbedra, do that. And with that mindset, when we've seen others, you know, even my own daughter this year, they submitted their lives to love. They decided, hey, we're going to elevate ourselves. Once we submit our lives to Christ, once we submit our lives to love, it changes everything about us, right? It changes the way we think. It changes the way we react. It changes the way we talk. It changes the way we, or maybe even some relationships we associate with. But wouldn't it be a sad thing if somebody submitted their life to Christ? Now, this did not happen. I mean, there were hundreds of people probably waiting to hug those sweet girls last week. Okay? But wouldn't it be a sad thing if somebody today came and they submitted their life to Christ and people got upset about it? Wouldn't it be a terrible thing for people to say ugly things about it? Wouldn't it be a terrible thing for people to shun them and not accept them into the body of Christ? Certainly it would. And we're thinking, well, that will never happen. But I'm telling you, when love's not elevated where it is, it can happen. And I'm going to illustrate that to you today. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 9. John chapter 9, there's a remarkable story of a man who's born blind. This man is going to meet Jesus Christ. And great things are going to happen. He's going to get his eyesight back. And you would think the people around him are going to be like, wow, this is so amazing. This is so remarkable. It's miraculous. How great, you've been born blind and now you can see and we're going to be happy with you because we love you, right? That would logically make sense. But when the devil's involved, folks, there's nothing logical about it. There's nothing good about it. And so in this chapter, we're going to see what happens when love is not elevated. When love is not supreme. When love is not king of our lives. Let's begin together and read verses 1 through 7 to kind of lay the foundation of what's going on in this great chapter. John chapter 9 now, beginning in verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, He saw a man who was blind from birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him.
I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When He had said these things, He spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And He said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. What a story. I mean, you think of the power of our Lord. George mentioned it a moment ago. We can't elevate Jesus enough. We can't exalt Jesus enough. He's that awesome. He's that powerful that He can take this blind man. Now, He could have healed this man any way He wanted. But what a scene that He was able to take His saliva, mix it with some dirt, make some mud, put it on the man's eyes, tell him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and he comes back, and this man, been blind all his life now, since birth, he can now see. The people around him are just going to be excited. They're going to be exuberant. They're going to be just great, right? No, they're not. That's the spoiler of this chapter. This chapter, when I was reading it in my personal Bible study, it made me mad. I've read this chapter a lot, right? You've read this chapter a lot. But when I was studying the other day, I read this again, and it just made me mad how nobody in this chapter can be happy for this man. But then it hit me like a ton of bricks. You know why? Because number one, they didn't know love, and that's Jesus. And then they didn't portray the love because they didn't have it. And it got me to thinking about, what if we do not love the way we need to love? What if we don't love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength the way we should? And what if we do not love our neighbor as ourselves? What's going to happen? Well, we're not going to have the reactions we need to react, that we need to have. We're not going to portray Christ the way we need to portray Christ. We're not going to be the light. We're not going to be the salt. You heard Jesus say that, didn't he? He said, there's a lot of darkness in this world, but I am the light of the world. So what happens, according to this chapter, when love's not elevated? Well, I'm glad you asked, because here's number one. When love's not elevated, dumb things are said. Now, I don't know if that is a proper thing to say to your children, parents. I apologize. But we just say some dumb things when we do not love the way we should love. Go back and look at verses 1 through 2. Now, as Jesus passed by, He saw a man who was blind from birth. And His disciples saw that. And they didn't just think, oh, well, this poor guy, he was just born with a handicap. Well, this poor guy. Now remember, what is Jesus doing? He's got a lot more patience with His disciples than I would. He is molding them into the salt of the earth and the light of the world, remember? That's what He challenged them in Matthew chapter 5. I need you to take your old attitudes and be these attitudes, okay? These are the attitudes you ought to be. We call them the Beatitudes. He said, and when you do that, when you empty yourself and you fill yourself with righteousness and good, guess what? Then you're going to change. You're going to be changed. You're going to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. He spent 3 years trying to do that, and it took the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit for that light bulb to finally come on. But here, His disciples who've walked with Him and talked with Him, who've been with Him, who've eaten meals with them, who've laid down beside Him, who've done all these things and watched Jesus, they say, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents? That he was born blind? You see, that's just a dumb thing to say. Now, granted, I believe they said it out of ignorance. I believe they said it because they were really confused. I believe they said it probably with the right intentions. But it gave me a reminder that sometimes when my love is not where it needs to be, I say some dumb things too. Husbands, today's Valentine's Day. Have you ever said any dumb things about your wife or to your wife? Probably. Wives, have we done that? Probably. Children, have you said it about your parents? At least thought it? Probably. You know, what about when we're in line? And we're not looking at a potential soul. Remember we talked about that, talking about our compassion. What about when we're in line and somebody's rude to us or somebody's rude? Have we ever said some dumb things out loud in the car, in the line, to people? You see, when my love is not elevated where it needs to be, I say and do dumb things. That's why I've got to constantly work on this. Hey, Jonah, God said, I want you to do something for me. I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to tell them to repent. Go give them this simple message, turn or they're going to burn, right? I'm going to destroy them if they do not change their ways. You know what Jonah did? Dumb things. He went and ran from God. So God said, okay, you're going to impact other people. Watch this violent storm now. Jonah finally said, hey, at least I'm the guy. Please throw me overboard. Another dumb thing. Instead of just saying right there, hey, just take me to Nineveh. If God would have calmed it all, I'm confident, and he would have gone. But no, he says, now throw me overboard. That's another dumb thing. So he throws him overboard. All of a sudden, here comes the great fish, right? The whale, the giant fish, whatever you want to call it, swallows him up. Why did he have to spend 3 days in there? Dumb. It was dumb. I mean, would you have to spend 3 days in the belly of a fish? No, I wouldn't either. Finally, he goes and he does it. But then after that, he's still not. You know why he... Because he didn't love Nineveh the way he should have. Hey, Cain, where's your brother Abel? Am I my brother's keeper? You know what that was? A dumb question. We say all the time, teachers, right? There are no bad questions. That was a bad one. Okay? That was a bad question. Yes, you are your brother's keeper. Yes, I know exactly what you've done. Yes, I know that you did not ignore the warning signs because you didn't love him. Jesus, why is this guy blind? What sin did he do? Boy, his parents must have committed a big old sin. You see, church, if we love the way we're supposed to love, and we work, again, it's a work in progress. But when we work on this every day, eventually our thoughts are going to change. And when our thoughts change, eventually this tongue is going to change. Now remember, no man can tame the tongue. I have seen grown adults put their head in a killer whale's mouth at SeaWorld. I don't know if they do that anymore, but it was pretty remarkable. They would get in there and they'd scratch its tongue and that whale just let it do it, you know. But at any moment, that whale, that giant animal is tame. But no man can tame the tongue. We got to have Jesus Christ, God, who is love, tame the mind, tame the tongue, tame the way we are. We've got to elevate love so I don't say and do dumb things. But that's not where this story ends. I could preach all day on that. So let's keep moving. What else happens when love is not elevated? Not only do I say dumb things and do dumb things, but doubt is at its strongest. Look at verses 6 through 12 now, John 9. Having said these things, remember now, this is Jesus healing this man. He spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. We read that earlier. There's the miracle. Now verse 8. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, it is he. Others said, no. No, that's not him. But he's like him. He kept saying, I am the man. Yes, I am the one who was begging. Yes, I am the one who was blind. He kept saying it. So they said to him, then how were your eyes open? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. And so I went and washed and received my sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. Do you hear the doubt? I'm going to tell you right now, if somebody I knew, I know I can't say things that I can't say I do something for sure if it's never happened. But I am 99.9% sure, okay, of this. If somebody I knew was about my age and they've been blind since birth and they met a man who made mud, he spit in the ground, put dirt, muddy dirt on their eyes, and they went and washed themselves and came back seeing, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't worry about anything except being like, this is a wow moment. I am so amazed. I am so blown away. But did you hear the doubt? Hey, well, isn't that the guy? I think it was the guy. And he's saying, yes, it's me. It's me. I'm the guy. I can just see him doing it. And they're like, oh, no, that's not him. Yeah, no, it's me. No, it's somebody like him. It's me. I'm the one. Well, how'd you do it? Well, Jesus, where's he? Where's he? They're like a little bunch of little kids. But isn't that the way the church can be sometimes? I mean, we act like, hey, you know, this person, Jesus Christ can help this person. Oh, they can't help them. He can't help them, no way. They are so far gone. Do you know how many things they've done? Do you know what they, I mean, we just go on. No, that's doubt. Or how about in our own lives? I'm struggling with this and I'm struggling with that. Well, God can take it away. Oh, no, He can't. You know, I just know He can't. I've just done too many bad things. That's when my love is failing. That's when my love is not elevated. You see, doubt is at its strongest, and the devil has a field day in doubt. Listen, coming from someone, I've been negative. I pray every day of my life, three things constantly. Okay? To be Holy Spirit led, to be more like Jesus, and to be positive. I do not start my day without praying those things. You know why? Because I've been in that low point. I've been in that negative point. When I think I've done everything right and I'm trying to seek God and I still was doubtful. I was still struggling. I was still low. Now it took some help. It took some outside help. God leading me to the right people who got me the right help, that gave me the right medicine. But I know what it's like to doubt, and I know what it's like to be low, and I know what it's like. Now, sometimes it's a chemical imbalance, but sometimes it's a love imbalance. And we've got to do our part in loving the way God wants us to love. You think husbands would ever doubt their wives' love? Or wives would ever doubt their husband's love? Or children would ever doubt their parents' love? If we talked about God and we showed God and we lived God each and every day of our lives? You see, the counseling side of ministry, sometimes that's a heavy load because there are people struggling and you want to help them. And you want to fix them. I've been a fixer my whole life. If my parents fought, I wanted to fix it. If my brothers fought, I wanted to fix it. Sometimes when you have people coming and their lives are broken mess, I can't fix it. And it's frustrating. But I can point them to the one who can. I can point them to love that can take away those doubts, can take away that anxiety, can take away that fear. But when my love is not where it needs to be, the devil has a field day with doubt. Thirdly, when love is not elevated, denial becomes dominant. Look at verses 13 through 19. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind, this poor guy, just let the man go and see with 20/20 vision, right? But they're dragging him everywhere. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." I love how he's condensed this story now. He's tired of saying it, right? "He put mud on my eyes, I washed, and now I can see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." Now they're talking about Jesus. But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them, so they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" I mean, is this not a story that frustrates you? It frustrates me. Because here's a poor guy who can't even celebrate that Jesus Christ has changed his life because they're dragging him from place to place and they're in denial. All because they can't stand Jesus that much. Because they're afraid he's going to get into their power. They're afraid he's going to get into their money. And they deny him. They've got to, and that, now they didn't pick up their phones, as you're well aware, and call the parents. They had to send for those parents, send word to those parents, and say, "Is this really your son? The one that was born blind?" I mean, poor parents, they felt bad all his life, you know? They couldn't do anything for him. They want to celebrate too. But nobody will let them do it. Wouldn't it be terrible? Somebody wants to come to Jesus Christ and like, "Hey, you know, you're not good enough. You're not dressed well enough. You got a little body odor. You don't have enough money." Maybe we don't say that, but maybe sometimes the devil tempts us with that. And if I'm not looking for people that have ailments, spiritual blindness, that need their eyes open and know that Jesus Christ can save them and heal them, then I've got a love problem. Listen, I get it. If the facts reveal something to be true, it's not a judgment, right? And the phrase, "Don't judge me," is probably overblown. But sometimes I still think we may cross over. And we may get on our high horse, so to speak. And we may look down our noses like the Pharisees did. Instead of seeing this as a great thing for this man, they look for ways to deny Jesus Christ. Naysayers will put a fire out faster than water. "Hey, man, I'm so excited about this and that." "Oh, well, yeah, you don't want to do that. That's a terrible idea. Wow, thanks." "Thanks for jumping up and down on my enthusiasm." But I'm afraid sometimes we do that. We got to get the Pharisee out of us. This man is so tired of telling the story, don't you know? He just wants to go about his way praising God. He's still unsure of who exactly Jesus is too. He said he's got to be at least a prophet. But he just wants to go and see the things he hasn't seen before. But because denial's so dominant, nobody will let him. And it really boils down to our last point today. And that's this. When love's not elevated, the devil's winning. You know, as we close out really with this point, I want to take you now to kind of, I guess, the conclusion of this chapter goes on a long way. But I want us to look and see what happens here. We read down to verse 19 where they ask about the parents. Now look at verse 20. "His parents answered them and said, 'We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know him. He is of age, ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So they called the man who was blind. Now, the parents even want their hands washed of it. Sad, really. So they called again the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, I now see. Then they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciples, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To me, that's a mic drop statement. But remember, the devil is winning. They answered and said to him, you are completely born in sins. And are you teaching us? And they cast him out. I love stories with happy endings. Man, this is a really sad story. The tragedy of love not being elevated and love not prevailing is that it gives foothold to the devil. The devil can't beat God, but he can destroy the family. That's why the devil wins so much in the family. That's why husbands say they don't love their wives anymore, and wives say they don't love their husbands, and none of them love their children when they do all that as much as they should. That's why people are just walking away, right, for any old reason. That's why people are turning on each other, and instead of being united as one nation under God, we are as splintered as we could possibly be. That's why churches divide and split. Hey, it's been going on since the beginning. The devil slithered his way into the home in Genesis 3. And he's been in people's lives ever since because he can't win. But his mission is to bring love down and to bring Satan up. But you know the good news, and it's kind of a sad. I mean, I'm like, Terry, I don't know if you want to preach. You know, I go back and forth. That's kind of a negative way. But I got to close positive. You know me. The best part about all this is that no matter what, love won. Love won. Jesus Christ, who took his saliva and mixed it with that dirt and made mud and put it on that man's eyes, no matter how much he was interrogated, no matter how much he was cross-examined, right? How much he was on trial, Jesus Christ made that man be able to see.
Jesus Christ, as Satan celebrated when they nailed him to that tree, and he breathed his last. And you know Satan had to be so happy. Why? Because I killed God. But up from the grave, love arose. And because love arose, it can arise in our own lives today. I am thankful love won. I am thankful this man was able to see. But I'm also thankful that because of love winning this man, Terry Cagle, today, is spiritually able to see. Today maybe you're blinded by the world. Maybe you're blinded by some dumb things. Maybe you're blinded by doubt. Maybe you're blinded by denial. Maybe because ultimately you're all blinded, we're all blinded by the devil. Today, allow Jesus Christ's blood, not his spit, to help you see. To help you come home. Today, if you have a need and you need to respond publicly. Today, if you need to become a child of the King, we urge you, we beg you right now to come as together we stand and sing.